blessing to be here. As Joe said, it's sort of unusual to see all the pews empty, but nonetheless, we can serve the Lord and best we know how and carry on. First, I want to, before I start here, something I'd like to share just a little bit about my last experience in the hospital. That's the second time that I went to an emergency room in 2 years. That I, going in, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. But just knowing that they have a group of people like this behind me, and I know texts are going around, and many people are praying. It's a very, very comforting fact when you're in that position, laying on a bed and the doctors are not sure what to do, and it's a very humbling experience. But God sees me as a true, He sees me through again. I don't know, we're not supposed to question why He does what He does, but I just pray that I can be a faithful servant and whatever He's trying to show me, I pray I can take heed and continue on and make improvements where I need to. Today, I only had a week to prepare here, but I was thinking about, I prayed a few times about what to share on, and for some reason the thought kept coming back to me about sheep. Jesus calls His people His sheep. So I did a little study on sheep, and I found some interesting facts. I'd like to do my best to share these with you all this morning. Before I start, I think I want to read a part of the chapter 10 in John. Jesus is a good shepherd. I'm going to read down verse 1 through 21. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth out his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, and they understood not what things they were, which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'll just stop there. And some of the things that I discovered about sheep, they know their shepherd's voice. And if there's to be a situation like at a water hole somewhere, where like four or five flocks come together and they all get mingled together at a water hole, and then there may be five shepherds, when it's time to depart, these five shepherds, one at a time, they'll call their sheep, want to go this way. And his sheep will, out of the midst of them, however many sheep are his, will come out of that group and follow him. Then the second shepherd, he'll call his sheep. And however many of them belong to him, they'll come out of the group and they will follow him. And they will not get mixed up. And sheep are always alert. And what's interesting about this is, as we're talking about these sheep, we're actually talking about ourselves. We are his sheep. And so it's really interesting. And sheep have 320 degree vision. As they're standing somewhere, they can see. There's only about a 40 degree area right straight behind them that they cannot see. But they always stay in groups. They're group oriented. They don't like to be alone. They stick together when danger comes, so they can guard each other. And if they're troubled or nervous, if they feel like there's danger nearby, they will not rest. They won't lay down. They'll stay up fully alert. And two of the worst enemies for those sheep, one is the lion and one is the wolf. The lion, the wolf is the one that's more dangerous. He likes to scatter them. A wolf will come in and scare them and scatter them, then he can get them one at a time. But a lion, it does a little bit, he'll just come in and pounce and grab one and take it off. But look here. And there's one factor that says that sheep have no sense of direction. I never knew that. I'm not sure what they think about that. They totally rely on the shepherd to lead him. They rely on the shepherd. And if interestingly, whatever the lead sheep does, all the rest of the sheep will do. There was a case in eastern Turkey. For some reason, there was a flock of 1,500 sheep. And for some reason, the lead sheep went over the edge of a cliff. I don't know if it was accidentally or what. But all 1,500 of the rest of the sheep, they all followed him over that cliff. But as it worked out, the first 400 of them died, but they was all in a pile. And then the rest of them came down and they had a cushion to fall on, so they only killed 400 of them. But another story I found here is that one farmer said that if you have a bunch of sheep in a barn, stretch a rope across the door before you let them out. When the sheep come out of the barn, the first few will jump over the fence, over the rope. Then you can cut the rope, and all the rest of the sheep will still jump there, even though the rope is not there anymore. They'll still jump. And the sheep are defenseless. They cannot defend themselves very well. When they are frightened by noise, such as running water, or something frightens them, they all run away together, hopefully in the right direction. That's their main way of defending themselves, is staying together, sticking together, and facing the enemy as a group. One alone doesn't have much chance. The enemy will get him, the sheep. And then there's another interesting fact that I found. A sheep, a full-grown sheep with a full body of wool, there are occasions when this sheep somehow gets accidentally turns upside down. He's laying on his back, and he cannot get up. If he lays on, there's an old English shepherd term, they call this cast down. This sheep is cast down. He's laying there on his back, and he cannot get up. His legs are flailing. But somebody has to help him. A calf sheep is a pitiful sight. If a shepherd does not lift the sheep and put it back on its feet, it will die. It is completely helpless to the prey around it when in this position. Have we ever been cast down? It's just something to think about. I know I have been, and it's really a comforting feeling to have a brother come up to you and help you back up. Even being cast down in the form of discouragement or whatever it may be, a brother will come by and lift you back up and with a word of encouragement. And that's a beautiful thing that we have. Sheep are emotional, and they recognize the shepherd's voice. And they have the ability to build friendships with other sheep, and they stick up for each other whenever there's a situation. And sheep are not meant to carry burdens. Their bodies are not designed to carry burdens. If you put a heavy pack on top of a sheep, he probably would just collapse after a short time. And God wants us to cast our burdens at His feet, and He will carry our burdens for us. And then sheep will settle for less. If they're really thirsty and they're coming across, they come up to some water and they come to a mud puddle before maybe just 50, another 100 yards might be a real nice clean drinking water. They'll drink at the mud puddle. They'll settle for that. I'm not sure why that would be. And then sheep are very valuable, and they were back in the old days. They were very valuable because they provided meat, milk, and wool, and they produced offspring. And men that had large flocks of sheep were considered very, very wealthy. And sheep cannot care for themselves when they are wounded. If a sheep gets a wound or a bite, they can't care for themselves. Other animals, when they get hurt, they lick their wound. They lick their wound and it will help it to heal itself. But the sheep cannot do that. They need a shepherd to come take care of it. The shepherd needs to put a salve on it or bandage it up or whatever, and the shepherd takes care of any wounded sheep. In Psalms 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. And sheep are innocent. Sheep symbolize gentleness, purity, innocence. It was the lamb that was sacrificed at Passover because it was represented the Lamb of God, flawless, pure, and holy. It wasn't a goat or any other animal. Interestingly, goats now are known for being independent, opinionated, and curious at best, or vulgar, dangerous, and destructive at worst. If you know anything about Satanism, the goat is used as the symbol in a lot of satanic, whatever you want to call it, people that worship Satan. The goat is, for some reason, is one of their symbols that they portray. In Matthew 25:32, that's where it talks about there's going to be a day and He'll separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are mentioned in the Bible at least 500 times throughout the Bible. There's 500 references to sheep. And I found a story about in Mongolia. That's one of the main ways of life over in Mongolia. I think it's probably still is today to somewhat. They have large. That's what a lot of men make a living. And shepherds lead the flocks of sheep about 5 miles every morning to away from home. And wolves follow these packs every morning. They're like a shadow. And if any of the sheep give birth on the way and the young ones are left in a meadow, the wolves run immediately toward them and they just don't have a chance. But that's where the shepherd tries to watch for these things. And there's quite a few more things here, but I got another. There's a story here that really caught my attention here that I found. It was a. Let's see. It's called the Judas Sheep. It's about a butchering shop where they butcher sheep. Before it was closed in 1971, the Union Stockyards in Chicago was one of the world's largest facilities for butchering sheep. From all over the Midwest, trucks and railway cars brought livestock to this great meatpacking city. A visitor came to the stockyards one day and asked for a tour of the sheep pens. "I've been a sheep farmer in my time," he explained to his guide. "I know the nature of sheep. I know how they are hard to drive when they are confused or in unfamiliar surroundings. I want you to tell me how you can move thousands of sheep every day from one place to another." The guide showed him a large pen full of sheep that were ready to go for the slaughter pen. And as the visitor watched, the sheep were turned out of the pen and trotted into the first enclosed ramp in an orderly manner. They trotted along as if they knew where they were going. The guide pointed to a sheep that was leading the way. The guide told him that sheep is trained. The leading sheep is trained. Yeah, he explained, he knows the route very well. He has done it many, many times. The sheep will follow him to the killing rooms. Are you surprised when I tell you that we call that sheep Judas? It had been raining that day, and there were puddles of water along the way. If Judas had not gone ahead, the other sheep would not have ventured through these puddles. But that sheep named Judas led the way, and the other sheep followed, trusting their leader. When the sheep at last reached their destination, the visitors saw what had happened. Judas, in his innocent sort of ways, slipped out a little sighted hole right at the last minute, and the other sheep went on into the pen. They didn't realize what had happened, and there they were. The New Testament is very blunt in describing false teachers that will rise up in latter days to lead people astray. Jesus himself warned, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Matthew 7:15. The Apostle Paul, in bidding farewell to the elder of the church at Ephesus, told them, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Acts 20:29. This is referring to false ministers and false prophets who deliberately lead God's children astray. Their leadership position, similar to the Judas sheep at the Chicago stockyards, gives them greater influence, and thus they can wreak all the more havoc. Yet even the lowliest of us can have an influence upon those who follow in our footsteps or look up to us in some way. We too can lead others astray by our word and example. We may be to blame for starting some young lambs on a path that they should not travel. May God keep us from being a stumbling block or an offense to others, especially little children. Jesus said if we offend one of these little ones, it would be better for us to have a millstone hanged around our neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. Let us not be a Judas sheep. And I found one more little story. This is a little bit off the subject. It was comforting to me this morning when I found this. I'm not feeling sorry for myself or anything, but it was comforting for me. God uses chronic pain and weakness, along with other afflictions, as His chisel for sculpting our lives. Felt weakness deepens dependence on Christ for strength each day. The weaker we feel, the harder we lean. And the harder we lean, the stronger we grow spiritually, even while our bodies waste away. To live with your thorn uncomplainingly, That is sweet, patient, and free in heart to love and help others. Even though every day you feel weak, that is true sanctification. It is true healing for the spirit. It is supreme victory of grace. The healing of your sinful person thus goes forward, even though the healing of your mortal body does not. And the healing of persons is the name of the game as far as God is concerned. That's all I have this morning. I just, I can't stand much longer this morning, so I just, God bless you all, and thank you for being who you all are. Thank you for being strong brothers and sisters in Christ. We just dearly treasure Sunday mornings coming down here. Let's never take it for granted what we have. God bless you all.